Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Following Christ and living by faith. We live in an era of great need for an encouraging word amid man's discouraging spiritual failure. So a word from God on the infinite supremacy and the sufficiency of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is both desirable and fitting. The Epistle of Hebrews offers it, and Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 admonishes us to follow Christ in living by faith. So we view it for our application and edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The long list of the Old Testament believers in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 40, who lived by faith in God's promises, should motivate us Christians today to follow their example, to live by faith in God's word today. The cloud of witnesses here, some people have believed and taught that the cloud of witnesses are these Old Testament saints that have gone on before, and they're looking down and they're watching us. There's no evidence. That's the case, that Old Testament saints can actually look at us and see us. The cloud of witnesses in the context, or the cloud of witnesses back in the first, the 40 verses in Hebrews chapter 11, were surrounded in a figurative sense by people who've gone before who have lived by faith. And in view of that tremendous group of people, it behooves us to live by faith as well. Well, to follow their example, we like them must take practical steps to do so. And this is the last part of verse 1 and to verse 2. First, we must lay aside every weight that hinders our running the race of faith. It's interesting how Paul, the apostle, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, likens the life of faith to a race. I used to run the 3/4 mile run, and then I ran the 1/2 mile run when I was in high school. Those are difficult races because you have to combine speed with endurance. So you can't go all out like you can in a 100-meter race because you'll burn out. But you don't want to go too slowly either. So you have to run, and you have to pace yourself in such a way that as you feel your strength draining from you, you keep your speed at the right pace so that you can do well. So you have to run with patience, and that's tough because you're losing your energy as you go. You're getting more and more weary, but you have to keep it up. So that's what it's like. Now, to run, we have to lay aside every weight that hinders our running the race. Now, what is a weight? Paul clarified that some such weights could be something or things that is biblically innocent or are innocent in themselves, but becomes unhelpful in a particular believer's walk for some unique reason. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Not everything in the world is lawful for us is something that actually builds us up. So we got to watch it. And that could be anything. There are lots of things that are helpful. I have found that I've got to watch out for the game of Sudoku. I can get lost, in especially the difficult ones. The more difficult ones, the more challenging. My mind gets completely engrossed with them, and then I stop focusing on Bible study. So I've actually had to cut it out, but it's kind of addictive. But it's just a game, and a lot of people play it, and I'm not going to condemn anybody who plays Sudoku. But for me, it's become something that's a problem. So that's a weight, and it could be anything else, you know. Paul also claimed that some such weights might be something that is, or some things that are biblically pure in and of themselves, but they come to enslave a believer in some way so that he's hindered from obeying the Lord. I'm trying to think of something by way of an illustration at this particular point, and I can't right now, but it could be drinking a cup of coffee. There's nothing wrong with drinking a cup of coffee, but it can enslave a person to the point where he has to have six or seven cups of coffee, and before he knows it, he's sky high on capacity of coffee to make them get high, because there is a drug that is in coffee itself, so maybe that's a problem. Paul also added that some such weight might be something that is biblically pure in itself, but that indulging in it wounds the conscience of another spiritually weaker believer, requiring a believer not to indulge in it, lest doing so wounding his spiritual brother's conscience. In 1 Corinthians 8:10-13, the issue in that passage was eating food that had been offered to idols. But it can change with different backgrounds. I know in Nigeria, West Africa, our missionaries would drink Coca-Cola and think nothing of it. But Coca-Cola comes from Coke, and also comes from the kola nut, which is highly addictive. The kola nut grows naturally in Nigeria. But the kola nut in its raw form is extremely addictive. And when the missionaries would drink Coca-Cola, it was a stumbling block to some of the new Africans who had been saved out of paganism. Because they said, well, the missionaries are drinking Coca-Cola, why can't I have my kola nut? So the elders came to our missionaries and said, would you mind cutting out Coca-Cola? Drink something else, you know, Fanta, grape juice or whatever. But don't drink Coca-Cola. So they had to cut it out. But that can change in different areas. Watching television can be a stumbling block to some, or sometimes spending time on the internet. You know, the internet can be quite captivating and cause a person to spend hours on it. Anything that could trip up my brother in Christ, I have to watch for. So these are weights. Second, we must lay aside every easily ensnaring, euaristatos, sin. The sin that a believer finds unusually difficult for him individually to avoid. The means of accomplishing this feat, of course, is through relying on the indwelling Holy Spirit to boycott living by means of one's sin nature. Now, in the context, it seems that the sin that easily besets us is a sin of unbelief, and that may well be. But, you know, you can apply this, that there are other sins that can really take a hold of us. Sometimes eating or overeating can be a problem, all right, and that makes a person become overweight. And that's not good for the health. It could be anything that can be addictive or some sin that is constantly creeping up on an individual. Third, we must run the race of faith with perseverance, hupomones, relying on the Holy Spirit who provides the self-control and the faithfulness needed for this task. It's easy to say, well, I'm going to start living by faith tomorrow, and tomorrow's Monday. And we might make it through most of the day, but by the end of Monday, are we still living by faith? Are we still trusting the Lord? What about Tuesday or Wednesday? You got to watch it. That's why we have to rely on the Holy Spirit for that faithfulness. Then we must run the race that lies before, prokemai, and we explain. Every believer has been gifted by God the Holy Spirit with a supernatural spiritual gift for service, with a divine service assignment and with an activity of Christian service that makes his ministry assignment different from all the assignments of all other believers. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 11. So each believer has his own race to run to please God, using his own spiritual gift of service, with his own service assignment and with his own service activity, as noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 11. There are three different things there. There's a spiritual gift, there's an assignment, and then there's a special activity within that assignment. And everyone is slightly different from every other believer. But it's our own race. This is why it's very foolish to compare ourselves with other Christians or with the ministries that other Christians do. We can't do that. We were designed by God for a unique ministry that he wants us to do, no one else. You have a ministry that's unique that nobody else can do. And God has designed you as a believer. He's gifted you as a believer. He's placed you as a believer in the location that he has because he wants you to do that work, and that's a unique work. Therefore, the race we are to run with perseverance involves fulfilling our own unique ministry assignment from the Lord as a lifelong calling by relying on the Holy Spirit to succeed in our ministry. This is always helpful. I've talked with a number of Christians who fall into the trap and have fallen into the trap of trying to compare themselves with someone else. And that's something that can be really intimidating. It can be discouraging. We can't do that. We are unique individuals. We have unique abilities, unique assignments, and God wants us to fulfill them. Fifth, we must look unto Jesus as our ultimate example of living by faith. First, Jesus is the author of the path of faith uniquely for Christians to follow, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2a, and he is the perfecter of our life of faith, or the finisher, one who brings it to fruition. Second, Jesus exampled how we Christians are to focus on the joy that is set before us. And in Christ's case, it was the joy of gaining an eternal throne, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. See, when Jesus was on the cross, he was going through a terrible experience, his worst experience he or any human being would have. But the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is now set down at the right hand of the Father. And he went from the cross to the throne, sitting on the throne, and he's ruling the universe. That was a tremendous blessing and tremendous reward because he fulfilled the Father's will. Third, Jesus exampled how we Christians are to use this focus on the joy set before us to endure the trials that we must endure in a life of faith. For Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God in tremendous power and glory. So the lesson is, may we be motivated to live by faith like the long list of Old Testament saints who've gone before us. To do so, may we lay aside every weight and easily ensnaring sin that hinders us and run the race that God has uniquely assigned us as individuals, doing so with perseverance in the enabling of the power of the Holy Spirit. May we run by looking unto Jesus as our supreme example, he who is the author and the perfecter of our life of faith, anticipating the joy set before us of God's reward so as to offset the trials that we must endure to reach our goal. So, in application, since we believers in Christ are part of a long line of saints who have lived by faith, the supreme example being the Lord Jesus himself, may we follow our Lord's example, taking the practical steps required to reach the goal of gaining God's ultimate reward. Since we each have a unique assignment in the race set before us, may we focus on God's personal calling for us and not compare ourselves with other believers. I was in a conversation with one of our deacons following the service this morning. We've had the subject of divine election and predestination kind of brought to us and brought to our four as a board on an issue that we've been facing. And this man was talking with me, and he was sharing how we do have that URL on our website about making sense of God's election. He says, maybe it's time to get that into book. Maybe you need to get it into a book. And I said, well, for many years, I sought to get it into a book, and every effort was blocked. And I took that the Lord didn't want it in a book. And in fact, originally, I thought he didn't want it at all. And then I was pressured on the other end to get it written out, but I figured out, he wants me to get it written out, but he doesn't want it in a book. How do I do that? And I thought, oh, the website, okay. And the door was open. It took about 4 weeks to transcribe what was in about a 300-page manuscript that I'd written and get it into a lesson, 33 lessons, put it on the website. And one of the teachers that we used to have at Nepal Christian Academy years ago, Mr. Rich Benedict, I don't know if you remember or not, I know Dave, I knew him. He was interested in my view of election. He said, when you get the book out, I want to read it. Well, he showed up in our church about 5 years ago, and he says, Don, do you have the book at? I said, well, the Lord has led me not to write the book, but I've got it online. He said, you do? I said, yeah. So I told him how to get a hold of it, and he sent me an email when he got back home. He says, I'm reading it, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So we fulfilled the calling that God wanted us to do, to write it out there. But the Lord's always indicated that he wants me to keep ministering, keep digging the word into the word and preparing lessons. People to write books, that's somebody else's business. If someone else wants to take the information and write a book with it, go for it. But he doesn't want me to do that. Remember years ago, they said that Dwight L. Moody tried to get involved in various different types of ministries, and the Lord started shutting doors. He finally came to the conclusion God wanted him to preach. That was it. So he settled on that, and then the Lord raised up other people to start publishing outfits, schools, whatnot. So he came to the conclusion, instead of dabbling in all sorts of things, he said, "This one thing I do." And he, to quote the Apostle Paul, and he just focused on the calling that God had for him. God has a calling for each one of us. I have one, you've got one, and God wants us to focus on that calling. And as we focus on that calling and live by faith in that calling, then we're going to get the rewards that God has for us. So first of all, we shouldn't compare ourselves with anyone else. And second, we should focus on what God's made obvious to us that we should be doing, and then get busy and stay busy doing that job and living by faith in him. And then he'll bless and he'll reward us someday.